Many have heard the tale of Bilbo Baggins, a simple hobbit in a hobbit hole. A story of unexpected adventure where good overtakes evil, light dispels darkness, and the surprise of joy invades a story of woe. But it is not the first such story. There is one greater. Just as this simple character was caught up in a web of momentous events beyond his understanding, so you also are a part of a larger story. One that was written long, long before the story of the hobbit found creation. Equally dangerous, more profoundly impactful, and involving a most unlikely hero. A king, humbly born, yet divinely sent to save the world. Perhaps you have heard whispers of this tale before, but it's an epic adventure worthy to be shared once again.
There were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards all men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Well, we know that the reason we're gathered here is not about elves and adventures in Middle Earth, but it's about the unexpected journey of our Savior, of Jesus, from heaven to earth. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been seeing unexpected journeys of some of the biblical characters in the Christmas story. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Kyle talked about the journey of control in the story of Zacharias. Last week was a journey of favor in the story of Mary. And this week we have the journey of obedience and the story of the shepherds. If you have your Bible with you, I'd like for you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Now, if you were God, and aren't we glad that we aren't, but if you were, if you were about to make the biggest announcement in all of history, you probably would choose to make that announcement to people who were really influential, people who could really get the word out, maybe religious figures or political figures. But we've been learning in this story that after 400 years of silence, God chose to interact with ordinary people, like a common priest, a young woman, and lowly shepherds. Now let's talk just a little bit about these shepherds. Now, more than likely, they were raising sheep that included the lambs that would become the holy sacrifices in the temple. And yet, even in spite of that, they were held in very low esteem by the Jews of their time. Doesn't quite seem fair, does it? The reason is that they weren't able to attend temple services because of the rhythms and routines of shepherding. They weren't able to keep up with the rituals and the ceremonial laws. So essentially, they were religious outcasts. Yesterday, my family and I went to see a live nativity presentation at the Critter Barn in Zealand. I wasn't expecting much, and it was awesome. What was the best part of it is it was historically correct. They had pictures from the Holy Lands, and they showed us what a manger really looked like. And through their presentation, I was reminded of some things about the shepherds. You see, there weren't very many old shepherds around. Most of the shepherds were young, and they weren't the best and the brightest. Only those who became shepherds were the ones who didn't make the cut academically. The really smart young men stayed in school to become rabbis, and the rest of them then were given other professions, the lowest of which was shepherding. So they were religious outcasts, and they either didn't apply themselves or weren't very smart in school, and they ended up being shepherds. Nobody paid much attention to these isolated guys who smelled like sheep. But their job wasn't easy. It was a 24-hour-a-day gig with very few breaks. Their job was to protect sheep from human or animal predators. And they knew that if they lost a sheep, they'd have to pay for it out of their own small salary. Throughout the night, they kept watch over the night, which is about three-hour shifts that they kept. And somewhere in the midst of one of those three-hour shifts in the night, an angel appeared to the shepherds. Now, I want you to put yourselves in the shepherd's shoes a little bit. Think about it. This was a night unlike any other night shepherding. No forewarning that tonight would be any different. Maybe they were bored. Maybe they were content. Maybe they were trying to figure out what they were going to have for breakfast. Maybe they were struggling with finding purpose in that same old routine. Maybe they were frustrated with that same ornery lamb they had to run after multiple times throughout the night. We don't know what they were thinking, but we do know that they weren't expecting what would happen next. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I remember acting out the Christmas story in Sunday school when I was a little girl. And it was not a big presentation. It was just a spontaneous thing we did in Sunday school class. And the teacher told us, use your own words for the Christmas story. Well, the quietest girl in our class was the narrator that day. And I'll never forget what she said when she told this part of the story. She said, "Then a shiny angel showed up and all the shepherds peed their pants." May not be far from the truth. You see, God came on their turf with some amazing news. God came to them with a prompting for them. And isn't it good news that they didn't come to the socially elite, they didn't come to the notorious figures of the day, they came to lowly shepherds, regular old guys being faithful to their tasks, guys not so different from you or like me. And isn't it fitting that the angel of the Lord had this message that said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. All of the people. You know, God not only speaks to shepherds, but God speaks to other ordinary people. People like you and like me. Now, I don't want you to too quickly dismiss this as only applying to the person sitting next to you or someone on the other side of the room. You see, God prompted the shepherds, and they had a choice to make in response to that prompting. They could have denied it, but they decided to go with it. God prompted them, which propelled them on a journey of obedience. And we have that same opportunity every time God speaks to our hearts. Now, let's talk a little bit about this word, obey. Kind of interesting that the word obey is rooted in the Greek word hupakuo, which means to listen attentively. So it's not just about action, it's about listening that precedes that action. By implication, to heed or conform to a command or authority, this word conveys the idea of actively following a command. So receiving a prompting from God, beginning this journey of obedience begins with listening, really listening to the voice of God. Not so long ago, I had a conversation with a KCC. She's been around KCC a few years. She's newer in her faith, really sharp, teachable, open, but very skeptical that God might speak individually and personally to someone. So she's been on this journey. Last week, I had a sticky note on my office door from my assistant that said, Kathy, call this person with her number. So I called. I said, hey, what's up? And she said, she didn't beat around the bush at all. She said, Kathy, God spoke to me. Now, it wasn't audibly, but it might as well have been, because it was unmistakably God. And I thought, yes, she's experienced it. She gets it. And she's not the exception. You see, Scripture tells us that everyone who belongs to the Lord has the ability of hearing his voice. Listen to what Jesus said in John 10:27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, God speaks to all of us generally through the truth of his Scripture, commands and truths that we are to obey that will guide us into God's best for our lives. But isn't it cool that God does not stop there? But he goes above and beyond that by customizing the truth for us as individuals. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and he speaks to us specifically and personally through his word, through circumstances, through other people, through a still, quiet voice in our heart. Well, as we are considering this idea of God speaking to us, there's something we all need to remember. It's a foundational principle that we must not forget, and that is this, that there is only one Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has written the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit at work through God's Word will never contradict himself. He will never deny himself. And any guidance that you receive from the Holy Spirit must be consistent with the truth that is found in the Word of God. So this journey of obedience begins with a prompting of the shepherds from God. The shepherds were people with issues, people with fears, people with doubts, people wrestling with life purpose, people who didn't completely have their act together. Does this sound familiar? Sounds a lot like you and like me. And yet God spoke personally to them. But you know, this idea of God speaking might be completely out of your comfort zone. You might think, whoa, that seems a little weird to me. And I think the reason that is it's really comfortable to be observers of what God is doing around us. But this idea of God inviting us in to join him can be scary. It might not be convenient. It might not fit in with our plans. It just might not be comfortable. Just this week, we were thumbing through pictures of 2012 for us to put in a calendar that we're putting together for my in-laws. And this is one of the classic pictures from this fall that made it into the calendar. Let me tell you this story. We were at a fall festival, and I thought that I could just put my little girls onto the pumpkin train and be an observer and watch it go around and around. But as a good mom, I had to pay attention to the sign as to how old a child needed to be to ride safely alone. And my little Rael was younger than that, so I found myself drawn into a journey where I really would have rather have been an observer. And as you can see on the look on my face, it wasn't exactly a comfortable journey. But you know, we don't have the luxury of being comfortable when we're in the center of God's will. We don't have the luxury of remaining mere observers as God is working around us. God is calling you in to join him through his prompting. And you know what my fear is this Christmas? My fear is that we'll be content with just observing what God is doing around us and never join in. My fear is that we'll be so busy with all the Christmas hubbub and things to do that we will never slow down internally to hear the voice of God. God is speaking, but are you listening this Christmas season? What is God stirring in you today? And how will you respond? You see, once God has prompted us, then we have a choice to make. We can choose disobedience or we can choose obedience. We would never say that we're choosing disobedience, but this is what it looks like. God speaks something to us and we can choose to just ignore it. La, 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 God, you're not speaking. God, I can't hear you. La, 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 I don't want to mess with that. We can ignore it. Or we can deny it. We can say, oh, God wouldn't be speaking to somebody like me. I'm too messed up for that. Or God knows how crazy busy this time of year is. So, you know, he'll speak to me again later. So it's all good. Or man, does God know how uncomfortable that makes me? And so he wouldn't do that because God loves me. So he wouldn't make me uncomfortable. So no, that's not. And we get into those patterns of thinking. Or sometimes we flat out resist God's words to us. We say, thanks, but no thanks. God, I hear you, but man, that would cost me financially. I'm not willing to do that. God, I hear you, but what will people think of me if I did that? No way, God. Or God, I hear you, but I just don't have the energy to do that. We flat out resist the calling of God. Each of those is a choice of disobedience. Think of all that Bilbo Baggins would have missed out on if he would have just denied that Gandalf showed up at his place. If he would have said, thanks for the invitation, but not right now. He would have missed out on an amazing adventure. And we too miss out on amazing adventures in faith when we take that journey of disobedience. Right now, you may need to have a quiet moment of confession. A moment of confessing to God that all too often, out of comfort or fear or self-doubt or feelings of inadequacy or busyness, you have chosen the journey of disobedience. You see, God is calling us on a journey of obedience. Obedience that begins with a prompting and is followed by a pursuit of his call. A pursuit of his call. You know, it's so cool the way the shepherds responded to their prompting. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, hey, stop a second, guys. Let's figure out a game plan for going which barn we're going to. Did this really happen? I don't know about this. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that the shepherds looked to one another and they said, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. You know, it was going to be risky for them. Who was going to take care of the sheep they were leaving behind? How'd that all work? We don't know. Surely they had questions, details that they wanted to kind of fill in the blanks for them. It interrupted their routine, interrupted their schedule of watching the sheep. But you know, God has the right to interrupt our lives. Look at this quote from Henry Blackaby. He says this, he has the right to interrupt your life. He is the Lord. When you accepted him as Lord, you gave him the right to help himself to your life anytime he wants. You see, a choice of obedience is also a choice of faith. The shepherds took God at his word. They believed it to be true. When we make a choice of faith, we are saying, God, I trust you. God, I know you have my best interest in mind. God, I know you know far better than I do, and I'm going to take you at your word, and I'm going to pursue you with all that I am. You see, the message of Christmas calls us to action. Now, my favorite part about this whole story is something you might forget if you just skim over the story, and that is this. When the angel showed up to the shepherds, he wasn't just giving them a big task to do. He wasn't saying, hey, I want you to do this, 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 and this. You know what God was doing? God was simply calling them to experience him. And they responded by actively pursuing him in a personal way. God is calling out to us this morning, just as he called out to the shepherds on that Christmas Eve. He's saying, come. Won't you come and see me? Won't you come and encounter me personally? Won't you come and spend time with me? Yes, God calls us to tasks, big and small, but even then the underlying purpose is so that we might press into our relationship with him, so that we might encounter him in a deeper way and then draw others to do the same. That might be your greatest takeaway this morning, that God is more interested in your heart than what you could ever do for him. What is God stirring in you today? Perhaps God is stirring in you that you have never responded to that call to come to him. Maybe today is your day to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time. And if that's the case, I'd love to speak with you after the service. Maybe God is stirring in you that you need to reach out to someone in an expression of genuine kindness. Maybe God is stirring in you that you just need to stop doing something. Maybe God is stirring in you that you need to invite someone to Christmas Eve services, or that maybe you're being called into a particular area of ministry. Whatever the calling, I want you to know this. God is absolutely delighted when our response to his prompting is a pursuit of him, and when we say, along with the shepherds, let's go. Let's go see this Christ, the Lord. What is God stirring in you? And how will you respond? Well, God didn't let the shepherds down. They got to Bethlehem. They found the Christ child. They got to experience firsthand the promises of God. You see, when we hear God's prompting, when we pursue his calling, then his promises are revealed to us. I think sometimes we don't act because we're afraid that God is going to let us down. We're afraid that God is going to take us on some crazy journey that's going to end up in a dead end filled with regrets. Do you realize how unscriptural that pattern of thinking is? You see, it completely contradicts all that Scripture tells us about who God is. We worship a God who keeps his promises. We worship a God whose plan for our lives far exceeds anything we could ever orchestrate on our own. We worship a God who doesn't condemn us for who we are not, but who calls us up out of our brokenness and enables us to become all that he has created us to be. That is the God that we worship, a God who keeps his promises. How unfortunate that those fears often drown out the voice of God in our lives. Now, think of what the shepherds would have missed if they would not have responded to that prompting on Christmas Eve. Think of what Bilbo Baggins would have missed had he not gone his grand adventure. Think of what you might be missing. You might be missing out on experiencing the promises of God. God is calling us to him, and his promises will be revealed to us. You know, when Bilbo started his journey, he was pretty timid, uncertain about what would lie ahead. But as the adventure went on, he gained confidence and eventually conquered some of his greatest fears. And you know what? The same is true for us. When we walk this road of obedience, even though it might be scary, even though it might be out of our comfort zone, even though it may not be convenient, our confidence in God grows step by step by step. And you know, I don't know that once it was all said and done, that Bilbo Baggins would get to go on another comparable journey. That's where the movie and our journey differ. Because once we take the journey of obedience, it's simply preparation for us to take the next journey of obedience, go on the next adventure of faith. Perhaps the next time we'll respond more quickly, we'll hear God's voice with greater clarity, and we'll pursue him more decisively. You know what the best part of this is? It's that there was this ripple effect that happened. The shepherds experienced God himself. They got to see his promise come true. And then it says that when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They couldn't help but share with others what God had done for them. And when God gets a hold of you, when you go on this journey of obedience, you too will be amazed, and you won't be able to help but share others with others the good news that you have discovered for yourself. So I ask you once again this morning, what is God stirring in you, and how will you respond? Now the shepherds, after experiencing the Christ child, they couldn't help but respond by praising God. It says the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and had seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, we can't skim too quickly over this first phrase in verse 20, the shepherds returned. That's right. They went back to regular old shepherding. Their circumstances didn't change much. They still had days they didn't like their job. They still had disagreements. Life went on as normal, externally, but the shepherd's heart was changed. The shepherd's heart was changed. You know, God gets the praise, but we get something too when we engage on this journey of obedience. The shepherds returned with changed hearts, and as they were shepherding, they experienced joy that this world cannot deliver. They experienced peace that no bank account can offer us. They experienced love that no person could ever give us. And long after that Christmas night was over, they would never forget their personal encounter with God. What is God stirring in you? And how will you respond? Now, this may seem kind of anticlimactic, but Christmas is going to be over here in about 10 days, all right? And all the stuff that we're concerned about now is just going to get packed up in boxes, and the gifts we're worried about getting, the tags are going to come off, most of them is going to get returned. You know, life is going to get back to normal, right? Until the madness of next holiday season. And I think it is absolutely tragic that for many of us, our hearts will have never been changed this Christmas. We won't be able to be like the shepherds who never forget that night, that season, that time. It may just be, oh, another Christmas that just blends in with all the others. I don't believe that is God's intent for any one of us this Christmas. But that will be your reality if you do not tune in to the voice of God. If you are distracted, if you are preoccupied by all these external things, yes, God met the shepherds in the midst of their daily routines, but their hearts were ready. They were ready to tune in. They were listening. We need to internally slow down over the next week or so and give God space to speak. Tune our ears, our hearts into what he has to say to us. And to be willing to pursue whatever it is he calls us to in this time of year and in our lives. You know, I've really struggled with this whole tragedy that happened in Connecticut on Friday. In fact, I'm one of these people that I haven't been able to watch the television coverage of it because I knew I wouldn't be able to handle it. So I've read some articles and I've had some conversations, but as a mom, it hits you really, really hard. And I've really been asking God, is there any connection between this whole tragedy and what we're talking about this weekend? And as I've talked to God about that, God has really shown me that yes, there is. He does not want us to stay in this place of despair, because we of all people have hope in the midst of the most dark circumstances. And this journey of obedience that we've been talking about is something that He can use us through to make a difference in this dark world. We can't change what happened on Friday morning, but we can prevent more Friday mornings happening by being willing to get our hands dirty in ministry, by being willing to listen to the prompting of God and to respond when it's not convenient, when it doesn't fit into our plan. God's intention for every one of us is to be His light to shine in this dark and desperate world. Are you willing to rise to the occasion this Christmas? What is God stirring in you, and how will you respond? Won't you join me for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You praising You as the promise keeper. God, we are so thankful that You choose to interact with common, ordinary people. Oh Lord, forgive us when we choose the journey of disobedience, when we don't hear Your voice, when we tune You out, when we resist Your call. God, give us the courage and confidence in You to pursue the promptings, the callings You have on our lives. God, thank You so much for the precious opportunities to experience Your promises. God, as we leave today, I pray that the question of what You're stirring in us and how we will respond haunts us, God. I pray against getting caught up in all the hubbub of Christmas activities the moment we walk out of church today. God, do a transforming work in us. Tune us into Your voice. God, we desire to make a difference. We desire to shine Your light. Thank You, Lord, that first You call us to come to You. Thank You for desiring our hearts and changing them, that we might be an agent of change and peace and joy and love and hope in this world. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.